We continue our scripture reading in the Gospel of Mark. Today we come to Mark 9, verse 33, and we continue to the end of the chapter, verse 50. You'll find this on page 1075 in your pew Bible. It's awfully discouraging about the state of sinful people when we conclude a passage where Jesus talks about his death for the sins of his people. And then we learn what the disciples were talking about in reaction to that. Petty squabbles about human preference and who will be number one and who's better than who. It's very discouraging. It also shows us our great need for the Spirit of God. And Jesus' response in a comprehensive way is to challenge them in light of his coming and his death, not only to sin, but also to this present world, to renovate the whole way they think about everything. Instead of thinking in terms of worldly preference and glory and power and riches, they need to be thinking about the kingdom of God. And he brings a child before them. He says, you want something important? Here's something important. And you receive a child in my name, you receive me. And he talks about there may be other people. They raise a question. Somebody was doing something. He was getting credit for it. We don't know him. He's not part of our group. And Jesus says, look, as long as people are serving me, then you should be pleased by that. And he challenges them to think differently about their whole attitude. Verse 42 is a very dreadful statement that I think many people ought to fear today. Jesus' attitude towards those who would intentionally corrupt covenant children. What a statement he makes about the punishment they will receive. We ought to prioritize the building up of the saints, especially covenant children. Then finally, Jesus says what you ought to be talking about is your struggle with sin. And he makes a statement that's been misunderstood in many cases. He talks about the radical way we should be thinking about this. And he says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off, and so on and so forth, pluck your eye out. Now, there have actually been people, of course there have been, in church history who thought they were obeying Christ by mutilating themselves. That is not what he's saying. He's speaking in a plainly metaphorical way, but he's saying you need to be radically engaged in pursuit of holiness. And in opposition to sin, makes a great, a dreadful, but an important statement about the reality of hell in verse 48, a very potent description. Well, he says at the end, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Jesus has died. He has died to sin, for sin, and to the world. We do not belong here. He calls for his disciples to radically rethink themselves as citizens of the eternal kingdom, and more so than members of the world. Well, with these things in mind, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning at verse 33. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Whenever one causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If it is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourself and be at peace with one another. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.